Cornell Majors House Museums presents They Were Her Property, White Women as Slave Owners in the American South, a book discussion led by history scholar Savannah Lohr. April 8th at 6:30, Igor and the Red Elvises, a Russian-American band, the Red Elvises, are returning to Kansas City and performing at Knucklehead Saloon. Friday, April 9th at 6 p.m., presented by Record Bar at Lemonade Park, an outdoor socially distanced concert series featuring True Lions, Crystal, Kaleidoscope, and Cujo. April 10th from 1 to 4 p.m., Show Me Pad Mural at the east corner of Prospect and Independence Ave, the unveiling of a new mural in northeast Kansas City, educating the community about peripheral artery disease. The Arts KC Go calendar is a partnership between Arts KC and KKFI in support of arts in our region. See the full calendar at kkfi.org/artskcgo.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Wednesday, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to Art Speak Radio today. And, you know, I'm here with you from noon to one. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. In case you didn't know, special hello to folks that are listening online at kkfi.org. So, yeah, we even have a listener in Germany. So thank you so much for joining us, Monty. And, yeah, happy to have you. I want to say today we're going to begin celebrating National Poetry Month, and let me tell you a little bit about that. Let me get rid of this music. Okay, we like that, but you know, we've got to move on. So yeah, National Poetry Month was launched by the Academy of American Poets in April 1996. National Poetry Month reminds the public that poets have an integral part to a role to play in our culture, and that poetry matters. Now, over the years, it has become the largest literary celebration in the world, with tens of millions of readers, students, K through 12 teachers, librarians, booksellers, literary events, curators, publishers, families, and of course, poets, marking poetry's important place in our lives. In 2021, the Academy of American Poets looks forward to celebrating the 25th anniversary of this annual celebration. You know, and I might suggest for more information and how you can read about 30 ways to celebrate National Poetry Month and online poetry readings and such. National Poetry Month is online at poets.org/national-poetry-month. Yeah. Well, it's on our website, so, you know, if you missed all of that, here, it is there on the website. So today we want to begin with Jose Faust and Waco Porter, both writers, poets, activists in the community. They're going to join us by Zoom, and I hope that they're both there. Hello, guys.
Hola.
Hello, hello. I want to say that Jose is a native of Bogota, Colombia, and a longtime Kansas City resident. He is a visual artist, performer, writer, and teacher. He received degrees in studio art, painting, and creative writing journalism from the University of Missouri at Kansas City. He has been involved in a series of mural projects locally and internationally and participated in a variety of community engagement projects. He won the Poets and Writers Maureen Egan Writers Exchange Contest for the state of Kansas. He received a Rocket Grant for the community project Vox Narrow. He is a founding member of the Latino Writers Collective and sits on the boards of UMKC Friends of the Library and is president of something or other that I can't, I got my information wrong. So anyway, that's Jose Faust. Also joining us, Waco Porter, who was born in Galveston, Texas, and was raised by the Marines. He met his wife in 1996 and has not looked back. She and his daughters have reinvigorated his pen and have been the backbone of his writing. They are the anchor for his wandering mind. Waco uses poetry to get a clear image of what he sees. When he is not writing, Waco likes to swim, bike, run, and ride around the city looking for pancakes. Thoughts on life and his own words, youngest of four, only boy, daddy's son, Mama's Joy. He serves as board vice president of Jump Start Art KC, which is organized by artists and lovers of art to mentor emerging creatives with encouragement and connections to community resources in theater, visual arts, literary art, spoken word, music, and dance, recording demos, publishing written works, and performance exhibition opportunities. JumpStartArtKC.org. Woo! I'm out of breath. So I'm so happy to have you guys here with us online. So thank you for joining us in celebrating National Poetry Month.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. So, you know, let's go alphabetically. Jose Faust, very active in the community, artist, performer, and all that. Would you like to begin with a poem and then maybe talk about that, talk about your writing sort of, you know, discipline and that sort of thing? You want to do that?
Sure, yeah.
Cool.
I guess I mentioned once that I think one of the saddest things that ever happens is when a poet dies. Just makes me feel a little extra sad, even if I've never heard of the poet. So this is a poem I wrote, kind of thinking, reflecting on that. It's called "A Poet Died Tonight." No one cried, just yawns from passersby, and a whistle like the squeal of a toy truck backing up. No premonitions or mysteries, learned astronomers to sing, constellations to sail by, just the sun going down and the moon lining up, while stars flicker in the sky. Cats beneath halogen lamps lick their paws, hunches on garbage cans. Dogs howl at chicken coops, sleep in padlocked yards. A woman pulls a curtain open on a corner room above a diner, looks down the street, nods to the dark, seals the windows tight. No finger clutching diamonds, no expectations, no regrets, only the rustle of the curtain scraping the weathered jam. No news and letters to decipher, death is death and life is death. Armies line up and shoot, soldiers take breaths and die. No hearse or attendance on call, just the usual profligates to reward. No way to tell a red wheelbarrow from a crushed yellow Cadillac. No month crueler than any other. A fork in the road is two roads. No conundrum in retelling. A clock ticks an ordained time. Wheels turn from the effort of a crank. Fortunata's wheel breaks and all wander blind. Nothing happens anymore. The bar dial circles the collapsing barn, clutches the peak above the gate, and falls asleep. So,
wow. Would you repeat that, Waco?
Yeah. Oh, man. I said, oh, man. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. You know, tell us about, you know, so you say it's the death of a poet. Was it written recently during the pandemic, or is it something that you sort of pondered or had an experience or epiphany with?
No, it's actually a friend of mine died a few years back who was a poet, and I've always had that thought. I just remember thinking that line came to me actually way back. I said, "A poet died tonight and no one cried," was the thought. And I just kind of left it out there. And then over time, just things, you know, I began to realize how I am affected by the death of a poet, right? And so I just started playing with it. And I think it came along, more poets died, more impetus to finish it. Yeah. So, no, please, no more poets die. I think I finished it right before pandemic. Hmm. And I did, because I do remember reading it before pandemic.
And have you been creatively, you know, just really writing and creating art and all that during this time, or has it kind of allowed you to slow down a little bit and be able to focus on more things?
You know, I'll tell you, for me, I think the pandemic was probably the best thing that happened.
Thanks, Jose.
I know. No. I'm sitting here thinking of all the deaths and stuff, but sure, no, it was in a sense, it made me slow down, which I think I was involved in a lot of things, and I think a lot of things just forced us to slow down, take a breath. And I remember, I thought, well, this will be a great time to make art. And then I didn't have the desire, you know, I didn't have the rush to go do, I didn't run to the studio, nothing like that. It just kind of like, it started just thinking, and that led to writing more than anything else. So I've done more writing, but it's not been really all poetry in any way. I think some of it have just been like little reflections is what I would call it. Just like sitting down and then thinking about something and then just letting my mind wander. So I might have a collection of those kinds of things.
Wow.
But our art has been, and now that it's getting close, man, there's a strong desire to be out again. There's a strong desire to be in front of an audience and connect with people. So yeah, that's where I'm feeling now.
Yeah, I like to read faces, you know, you know, whether it's performance or just out in crowds. You know, I want to switch and ask Waco if he would care to share some poetry, some, you know, more recent work or whatever. But Waco, would you like to do that? And before you do that, so where can we find the best pancakes?
Oh my goodness. First Watch is good.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't say that they're very good. They're very good. I find it hard to find that. I'll just put it like that.
Okay, great.
Okay. This is Americanism. Drain your pools, you fools, you foolish dimwits. That's not what America is. Your money guy stole your portfolio, laughed all the way to an island off Thailand. His website either has dead links or is under construction for the umpteenth week. America is a grease fire. It's a food truck serving cupcakes. It's a game of cornhole. It's a lottery. No, it's a beach town. Everything is covered in sand. It's full of men with chest hair, rowdy kids with dirty faces, and old legs with varicose veins. There are shops with cheap t-shirts, 4 for $20 to remind you where you are. Everyone came from somewhere else, fell in love with the place and decided to stay. Thought it was a good place to make a family and earn a living. Everyone saved money, bought a little place at the edge with hopes of a burgeoning metropolis, but secretly fear losing the town's identity. Everyone remembers when things changed. Tourists got hold of everything and now life is different. Kids aren't safe. Neighbors left for better prospects. Towns half dead 7 months out of the year, but 4th of July and Memorial Day are still big. The beach is crowded. Everyone makes the money they need. The kids swim. Parents drink, read, and play cards. The town breathes from May to September, then holds its breath fall to late spring. Will it survive another year? Conversations at small diners overlooking boarded up windows and lonely traffic signals. The smell of aloe vera and exhaust fumes long gone. The town is horrific at these times. Seagulls and sand crabs, the only signs of life. The sheriff goes back to being just mayor and judge, releasing the last knucklehead from the small lockup downtown. The tourists give and take life. The town bends to their will, hating and accepting, begrudgingly giving change and talking history through gritted teeth. I love my town, America. Born out of curiosity, discovery, and hardship all around. The natives, what natives? The beach town is not new to everyone. The original residents have aged and withered, taking the town's real history to their graves, rightfully so. They saw the water and knew. Then tourists upon tourists with money and changes, ideals and ideas that have nothing to do with the pleasant mix of sand and sea, high tide and low tide, undercurrents, sand dollars and starfish, seaweed beds and the trek of baby turtles, hermit crabs and driftwood. Smell the salt, you foolish dimwits, and drain your pools. Catch your dinner and feed your children around a fire. Tell them a story of yourself, your scars and aging bones. Brush the sand off your feet before you go inside anywhere. There's sand everywhere in beach towns. Don't worry about the tourists. Just survive another year. Americanism.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful. Wow. And that's a most recent piece that you've written, Waco?
Yeah, that's new.
Yeah, wow. Wow. How did that come about? What was the inspiration? I know that you often take things around you and form your ideas from that.
I was just thinking about being at the beach and just remembering, like, being down at Corpus Christi, and it's like, you know, you go into a store, you know, and it's just like, you walk in and there's sand like all over the floor when you go in these shops, you know, and they have the tea. So I was just thinking about that. And then, and sometimes when I'm driving home, I can't remember what particular time of the year, but if my car windows are down and I smell the air, it just reminds me of when I was sitting in front of my car on the road in front of at like Topsail Island in North Carolina. And so that smell like takes me right back to that place. And so, you know, and I just started writing.
I love that. You know, for this question is for both of you. And, you know, I want to ask how much of the sensory is the senses involved in writing, or should it be? Essential to painting a picture using the smells, the scents, the colors? Is that important to your work?
Jose, you want to go?
You go ahead, because I think in the poem you just read, man, it hit so many sensory things for me. I've been in towns like that and loved them.
I remember my wife and I were at the beach, and I remember we did see the baby turtles come out of the sand and make their way back to the water. And you just sit and watch, you know, just amazing. Cause you know, it happens so rare. You couldn't plan a trip to see that. It just happens and, you know, you appreciate it. And so just, I mean, I think the sensory, it's a big part, because it's when you go to a certain place, sometimes there's a smell there, you know, even if it's at home. And just like, you know, my mother doing my sister's hair with the hot cream, you could smell like burnt hair in the air, you know, and things like that. You're cooking, you know, like a holiday meal, and you smell that. You're reminded of the smell of the food. Or if your mother or father wore a particular perfume or cologne, and, you know, sometimes you're writing and it takes you to those places and you think of those people. You know, you may mention their name, but when you mention their name, you may not be able to find the word to describe the smell, but you smell it as you're writing. You know, it was like my sister's hair after she got it done before her graduation to college, you know, something like that. And so it's visual for me. It just, the smell, you know, it's everything.
I hear you. And Jose?
Yeah, I have I get polyps in my nose, and I've had to have operations a couple of times. And one of the things that happens is you lose your sense of smell. And you know, you remember Maria, I could smell a tortilla factory miles away when we were in Mexico. Those days kind of tend to come and go. So I'm very aware of when you lose one sense, how heightened that becomes. So the other day I walked to the coffee shop, and I've been like a month now without being able to smell anything. And I ordered the coffee, and as I opened it up, all of a sudden it hit me. I could smell the coffee. You know, I could smell the flowers in the shop. I could smell everything. It was just overwhelming. So to me, I think a tangible presence of what sense can do for you, right? I mean, like, Waco said about that burned smell of hair. Oh, man, immediately it's like popped in my head. I have a memory of it, and I have a very distinct reason why I smelled it. Somebody was doing a perm. Mm-hmm. And my brother used to do hair, and that was the first time I ever smelled like burned hair like that, right? It was like, whoa. So I think it's really, and actually it just gives me a really good idea to just start writing about things, describe the things that I can't smell anymore, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful tool.
I smell
tool.
Now and then, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you would both stay with us for just a few minutes, I've got to, well, longer than a few minutes, I've got to run some sponsors here, some underwriting, and we'll be right back with Waco Porter and Jose Fass.
Support for KKFI comes from the Climate Council of Greater KC, presenting the 2021 Climate University, April 17th and 18th, from 1 to 6 p.m., offering a variety of free presentations and workshops that help you understand the steps to reverse global warming, information on fast fashion, microplastics, renewable energy, and much more. That's April 17th and 18th from 1 to 6 p.m. This is an online event. Learn more at climategkc.org.
Okay, I lied. There's only one. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and this is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd here with Jose Fass. Hello, Jose.
Hello.
Hello, my friend, and Waco Porter, both writers, poets. We're celebrating National Poetry Month all month, so we're going to hear from a lot of other folks, included Aaron Adair Hodges, Octavio Quintanilla, Andrew McElvain, Miguel Morales, Sarah Chavez, Perry Shepherd, and Mary Frances Wagner. But for today, we've got Jose and Waco, and I'm going to ask them both to read another piece of their work and maybe talk about it a little bit more, either before or afterward. You want to start off, Jose?
Yeah, okay. It's funny. This is a poem I wrote quite a while back, and then I met this composer who asked, you know, if I had poems that she could look at so that she could kind of like see if she could interpret some music to him, compose some music to him. So I gave her some poems. She chose this one, and I just found out she's going to actually, years later now, she's already performed it. I saw it, the performance a while back, but now she's been asked to do it again. And so she, it reminded me because I'd totally forgotten about it. She sent me a thing informing me so that I could like log on and catch it, and then I said yes, now I have to talk about it. But I want to read the poem. It's actually it's six haikus put together, and it's about love, and it's this idea of, well, I think you kind of get it, but Amor saunters by, her heels rasp across the walk, ice pools at my door, beads around her neck, braided flowers left from spring, bristle will be snow. Sweeter than any berry, fresh picked from the vine, I bring one a day. Hawks and ladybugs soar high in the morning sun, leaves glide to the ground. Amor's smile beckons, flip of the skirt entices, slippery when met. The bright sun above, shadowed by the pale moonlight, many days follow.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
I think it worked out.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
What? Oh, my turn. Yeah, go ahead, Waco, please.
Oh, no, go ahead. Oh, this has no title, and it just reminded me of some things I'd heard before in my life, and then I just happened to be thinking about them one day, and then I just started writing. Just self-identity is what it was. Okay. I thought I needed glasses. Hopefully I can do okay. We talk about blackness like it's something the world has never seen, even though we know it's where everyone came from. So why do I feel left out? I was told once I wasn't black because I was scary. I was even told I wasn't black because I have both parents. But I'm black and I own it. Though my parents love each other, my sisters and I were never homeless. I separate myself to such a degree. Now the only people that know me are the ones that raised me and the ones that will bury me. But I'm black and I love it. My wife and mother are black, and black babies came from their stomach. my mother-in-law the same, and she was gracious and gave me the blessing to give her daughter my last name. These women get love and respect from me. My sisters and daughters the same thing. If I fall short for any reason, put the blame on me. My father is not absent, lost, or forgotten. He carried me through a storm and talks me through problems. His truth is fresh fruit when the world is rotten. But thankfully, the world didn't raise me. Just Liz and Waco, a couple of Texas babies. And Nell and Alice and Marie and Sheila and Sydney and Simone and Vanessa and Catherine, my black cards. Personally, I think God stacked the deck in my favor.
Wow, that's beautiful. Really, really powerful. When you read that, you know, and listening to you, I was thinking about a performance piece in that, you know, do you, my question is, do you ever think about your work beyond the poetry, like Jose's, where his became a performance or a dance or a movement or music or something like that? Do you ever consider another element to your work, another discipline to your work?
Honestly, no. I mean, I usually have music playing sometimes when I'm writing, but to actually put the piece to music, not necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about it maybe once or twice, but it's something I've never pursued, and so I just focus on the writing. But sometimes I do wonder, sure, like, would this sound better or so forth, you know, to music and so forth.
Yeah, right. You know, for me, it absolutely lends itself to music or some sort of percussion or something, know. So I hope I'm not out of line by saying that, but you know, it reminds me too of with Jose. I've seen him in performance with musicians on stage, and is Jose, is that something that you kind of just happens, or do you kind of seek that out, those partnerships, collaborations?
I think I've always been intrigued by it. There used to be I mean, there was a history of actually having musicians and poets doing stuff together. I remember Dan Jaffe was a teacher at UMKC when I went there, and he was one that did that a lot. And I actually saw him back then doing it with some bands. So I've always liked that idea. Plus, also, I love the music that comes out of putting words together. So there's always musicality that I'm trying to pay attention to. And then, I've done a few things. The last thing I did was with the Sextet, Robert Castillo's group, and we just did this improvisational thing where we actually gave ourselves 2 minutes and 15 seconds. They started riffing, and I just started improvising words, and it came out really nice. And I love that idea of working without a net, kind of. I've been doing a lot of that. I've been on a little drum I have, and just start going. Just let whatever happens, you know. I call them incantations. They're kind of... Yeah. I record some actually are not that good, but some look good, some are promising. So I love the idea of working with others, but I've also seen works interpreted, right? Like movement with dancers. Right. I think we used to do that at the writer's place too. And I've done it with other people. I like the way it's a collaborative thing, right? So it's what are the other artists getting out of it? I like that flow back and forth.
And I've seen those kind of performances, and I've enjoyed it, you know, and just that coming together and so forth. And I've heard, an open mic somewhere where there was a band present. And so as you read, the instruments may come in and out as you read and so forth. So it was totally improvisational for them, you know, and you were just, you're reading your piece, you know. And so that always sounded cool. I never was able to see it like firsthand to see how it unfolds. But it was something I was curious about. I'm kind of curious about that as far as how it works out, you know.
You know, I recall that there was a Word Fest out in Sibley, Missouri, probably, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago, and a band showed up. I think it was Bongotini, if I'm not mistaken. And it was really wonderful to see the faces of the poets and the musicians together. It was just some sort of impromptu thing that happened, and it's like, wow, look at what we've done, look at what we've discovered, look at what we uncovered. And it was really wonderful to see that happen. Perhaps when we get back together in real life with live things more happening more and being open, maybe we can get back to that. Who knows? I tell you what, guys, I just have a couple of more things that I need to air, so stick around. Don't go away. This is Art Speak Radio, and we're with Jose Faust and Waco Porter. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in theaters or streaming. Bad Trip is a perfectly titled movie. This trip is bad. This is a hybrid film, a mixture of a buddy comedy and a punked-style hidden camera show. Eric Andre and Lorau Howery are pals on a road trip pursued by vengeful prison escapee Tiffany Haddish.
If you saw the film Borat and enjoyed it, you might find this comedy funny. However, Bad Trip is so raunchy, in bad taste, and disgusting, it makes Borat look sophisticated.
But unlike a movie like Borat, there's no sociological content or commentary. This is unapologetic, off-color humor that aims to shock.
There are unsuspecting people reacting to sight gags with the use of hidden cameras. The gags are gross. But if you see someone vomiting and that can make you laugh, this film is for you. The plot line is based on two buddies going on a road trip to New York, so one of the buddies can start a new life with an unsuspecting girlfriend. The plot never really thickens. It's simply ridiculous, with crashed cars, a musical parody, an homage to the film White Chicks, and not to be forgotten, a gorilla rape scene.
Susan, there are long, dull stretches in this movie, but they're punctuated by a few hilarious moments. You may be ashamed of yourself for laughing, but there's a pretty good chance you will. At least you have to give them credit for the title. It's truth in advertising. Susan, do you have any last words of advice about this movie?
See at your own peril.
That sounds like sound advice to me. Well, that's it for this week. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. That's what you're listening to now. So thanks so much for tuning in on 90.1 FM or listening online at kkfi.org. And this month we're celebrating National Poetry Month. That was launched by the Academy of American Poets in April 1996, a very long time ago. We have Jose Faust and Waco Porter both on Zoom. And we're so happy that they've joined us today to kick off National Poetry Month with their work, talking a little bit about not only their inspiration and their writing styles and all, but just, yeah, sharing with us their work. And we're so happy to have them both. So thank you guys for sticking around and being online with us today.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. So, you know, at the break, we had a conversation and about, you know, performance with poetry and all that. Is there, for you, Jose, is there any future events online that you want to share with our listeners that are coming up?
Actually, Glenn North and I and Marion Kunkel were judges for a poetry contest that was put on by Mid-Continent Public Library. So I just want to invite people with the anthologies coming out. And so there's a virtual event taking place April 21. If you can go through the Mid-Continent Public Library and find the thing to sign up. It's going to be free. It's registered. And Glenn and I and Marion are going to talk about the poetry submissions. This was an anthology that was all by Kansas City poets, Kansas City connected poets. And it's just a snapshot of kind of how the poets are seeing Kansas City. It's a nice little thing, and I invite people to come for that. The other part is I'm also involved. Glenn and I are going to be judging, along with somebody else, at the Kauffman Center doing an artful poetry contest. And they have two categories, under 17 and 18 and above. So if you can go to the website, you can submit. It'll be a poem. Videotape yourself. submit it. They have the guidelines are on the website for Kauffman Center. And it'll be a chance actually to perform, hopefully, the poem on stage someday.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think those are two things. And I think the it goes through the end of the month. So by April 31st, you have time to get your stuff in.
Beautiful. And I want to ask Waco Porter what's going on with him in terms of events or opportunities for writers or performances.
Well, right now at Jumpstart Arts, we're starting to meet again. We've been on hiatus for a while, but we're meeting and we're trying to figure out which to find a project to sponsor next. So we're just kind of in that mode where you're looking for someone that's looking for an opportunity. And so we have a couple of people in mind. And so once you identify an individual, it's just a matter of trying to figure out what do they want to do. And then we try to figure out from our end, what can we do to support them?
Great, great. JumpstartArtKC.org is mm-hmm. the website. And invite you to take a look at that wonderful organization. We're going to get back to the poetry. So do we want to start with you, Waco, this time? He's like,
sure. No, it's fine. I'm ready.
Okay, good.
This one is, I used to go to the Fourth Monday Writers Group, right? Everybody's not really meeting, but one of the guys that was reading his poem, Greg, who became a good friend, he had a line in his poem, because he was writing about life and his life in Louisiana, and he had a line in his poem called Jim Crow, You Sneaky Thief. And so I took it, and then I wrote. So it's called JC32. I'm black again, back, my man. Hey, Greg, old Jim Crow is at it again. Sneaky thief. Is it true? Probably. If I don't buy the coffee or talk to my mommy on my phone in the hotel lobby, I gotta leave. Even though I got the room key in my pocket, where can I go that's not home, be comfortable and not be shown the door or told I gotta go? The credo is cold. Old for those that know that 1832 was a long time ago. Construction and reconstruction were nothing without the Negro. Some people haven't figured out how to love their way through the darkness. Old America, new America, even our smartest don't know what or where the heart is. New practice, old tactics. Greg, Jim Crow's not a thief, he's a blank. His daddy was a blank and his mother loved black men. They couldn't raise him right, so this is what happens. Antics and practice that keep us sliding backwards. Your money won't save you. You just might mingle with new age anuses. I don't want to be angry, but what's really changing? Bodies on top of bodies. Fake news sways the views of my babies. I don't want money. I want the truth. I don't care if the messenger is a mess or in a suit. Give me the truth. Absolute. Tell me your real point of view. Don't be so dishonest you can't make a promise. Even if everyone turned around and said they don't want us, it's okay. I'll summon Marcus Garvey. I'll learn oceanography and astronomy, philology and Egyptology. I'm man enough to love honestly, return the favor and say if you don't want me. My mother kisses my head and tells me I'm a gift. My father reminds me to protect my wife and kids. My wife holds my face and said there's no one else she'd rather struggle with. I hug my sisters and my babies. I tell whoever's listening, I'll take all of us. And see, out in the water, I'll let the stars guide us. We can survive on what the sea provides us. Forget Africa or wherever, just keep sailing till I figure out why or if my nation failed me.
Wow, wow, Waco, that's beautiful. Thank you. You know, what do you hope people get out of your poetry, you know, when they read it? Do you expect that they'll have the same sort of meaning for them that it does for you?
I mean, that's the hope, because I have a, you know, Jose, you may attest to this, maybe not, but it's like you have a vision in your mind what you're writing, and you're trying to just get the words right, that for me, when every time I read it, that image needs to be right there. If it's not, it gets thrown away. So a lot of stuff gets thrown away because you reread it and whatever that image was, I can't even see it now. So that piece has to go. But as long as I can go right back to where I was. So, I mean, in here, it's there's a couple of incidents. So there was one where, you know, the guys that were, and it, there were a couple of incidents that happened that's kind of I put in there also where they were in, was it Starbucks? And they're waiting for a meeting. Mm-hmm. And so, which what many people do, mm-hmm. but for some reason, the police got called and it became a big situation. And there was another one where the guy was in the hotel lobby, right? He's talking on the phone and he was talking to his mother and it brought the police and trying to kick him out. But he had a key in his pocket, you know, and so forth. So, I mean, it's, there's some commentary in there, you know, and hopefully that does come across if I'm putting that in there. But yeah, you hopefully they get that image. You may not have the same emotion about what you see, but hopefully if I do it right, you can see what I'm seeing if I'm doing it any justice.
When you add it and that portion, that word, that phrase goes away, does it come back somewhere down the road later? Or, you know, it's kind of like, well, this piece didn't work here, but I'm going to hang on to it because, you know, down the road there might be a place for it, you know, in
the
writing.
If the whole piece goes, I mean, there's a reason why. So I have little notebooks, right? So you line it out. And so you just, you know, is there anything I can scrap from here that gives me a little bit? Because the image is there. It's just a matter of finding the right words. And if none of those words fit the bill for that, as long as the image is still there, then I can still try to find something to speak to it. But if it's not anything that was already written, then that whole piece just goes away.
Terrific. Terrific. And Jose, you're up.
Yeah, I don't murder them as quickly as you do, Wakel. I mine them later, you know, because there's a sense sometimes comes back, something comes back and you can, all of a sudden it makes sense or you see a way out. But yeah, I don't think I ever write with the idea that the audience is going to understand what I'm trying to say. I really hope that they do. But I've had so many instances where somebody has pointed something out I hadn't even noticed in what I wrote, right? And I realized, there's a bias sometimes that you can try so hard to control something, but sometimes you just can't. You know, it has its own thing. And the audience always brings something to it. That, you know, sometimes I want to get rid of a poem because I said, you see that in there? I don't see that in there. And I'm going like, no, that's not good at all, you know? But yeah, it's mm-hmm. just, I think, the nature of it. I can live with it, I think. I'm more forgiving about it. But there's some poems that just don't ever see the light of day, man, because they just suck. But I keep them around to remind me. If I don't lose them, I don't take care of them, that's for sure.
Well, maybe they can become a found poem then, somewhere down the road. Oh, yeah. Who knows? So hit us with another piece, if you would, Jose.
All right. This is following up on the Jim Crow. This is a found poem. I mean, it's literally the only way it's about. I mean, you'll know. Everybody will know what it's about. It just really has affected me a lot. And I try to write to the rhythms that I heard. It's called Mood Gemini. Breathing is the easiest thing I do. Thousands of times a day, I take my allotted breaths. Is there a proper way to do it I'm not familiar with? Because I would do it if it made the world a better place. I take deep breaths when my music plays, measure steps like beats, walk a straight path, all times meander, smell a flower, shake my limbs, step aside and let flies be, twirl and shake to the songs I see. No offense, but I think I breathe the way I am meant to sing. I walk alone, but I'm never lonely. We all walk alone, don't we? But my walk is not a sad song. I always know where I mean to go. Tonight, I'm walking home. Isn't that all we mean to do? Make it back one more time before the moon declines. I have a card identifies me. Say my name, please, just once. Let me introduce myself. My name is Elijah McClain. I'm an introvert. I'm just different, that's all. I'm so sorry. I have no gun. I don't do that stuff. I don't do any fighting. Why are you attacking me? I don't even kill fleas. I don't eat meat, but I don't judge people. I don't judge people who do eat meat. Forgive me. All I was become better. I will do it. I will do anything for my identity. I'll do it. but it's getting harder to breathe. Is there a better way? Because I will do it if it will make the world a safer space. Tonight seems the wrong time to ask. I was almost home. Listen. Listen to the song I was singing. Listen, please listen. I can't breathe, and it is the easiest thing I do. The easiest thing I do. I hear you breathing. I just can't breathe correctly like you so easily do.
Beautiful.
And, wow, wow.
To me, that what he said, what he spoke, was such profound poetry, right? I mean, just those words that the despair, I mean, that's like, I don't know. So that just built a poem around that.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I got to take another quick break. I've got a couple of more underwriting pieces to air, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio, Jose Faust, Waco Porter.
Aficionados of classical music will want to make note that the popular weekly KKFI program,
Classical Challenge,
is expanding to a full 3 hours starting March 31st and will air from 9 p.m. to midnight every Wednesday evening. In addition,
From Arc to Microchip
will be moving to 7 p.m. on the fifth Thursday of the month, beginning July 31st.
Just one more reason to keep your dial tuned to 90.1 FM and KKFI,
your community radio station.
Did you know your business or organization could be sponsoring this episode of Art Speak Radio? Learn more at kkfi.org/marketing.
To Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. That is Coco, and that's a song written by Stuart Copeland. And you know, I wanted to say that we've really enjoyed our time with Waco and Jose, and I want to thank you so very much for sharing with us your poetry. I'm going to have to say goodbye to y'all. I've got another guest online, but we hope to have you back in the studio sometime before the year is over, right? You guys want to come back?
Oh, promised.
Yep.
Yeah, I would love that. Yes. You know, and being in person at the station just has a different energy. This has been great. Don't get me wrong. It's very different. Zoom. Everyone's Zooming. So thank you so very much. Yeah, Jose.
Thank you, Maria.
You're very welcome. Jose Faust, Waco Porter, thank you so much for kicking off National Poetry Month, the celebration here on KKFI 90.1 FM Art Speak Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
You bet. Take Thanks. Care. All right. And I wanted to mention that I do have Enrique Chi on the line. He's with Making Movies, founder, musician, singer-songwriter, and we're going to talk about another program that's associated with making movies. Hello, Enrique, are you there?
I'm here. I'm hearing like a doubt. Oh, there it goes. Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Are you all hearing a dial tone happening?
No.
No? Okay, well, if it's just on my end, I can power through it.
Yeah, or if you want, I'm not hearing it.
Yeah.
But,
Okay.
So tell us about your organization that is formed through Making Movies.
Well, a decade ago, Making Movies started a music camp collaborating with the Matty Rhodes Center, and we wanted to create a music camp to empower youth in our community. And after 5 years of the camp, we just saw that there was so much beauty being born out of these kids using songwriting to empower themselves, you know?
Right, right.
Connecting their own narrative to music and being vulnerable with that in front of people was having this transformative effect. And we didn't really know exactly the science why, but we just saw it was happening, so we knew we needed to do more. So I founded Art as Mentorship, a not-for-profit organization, to grow out of that one-week camp and start growing into year-round programming. And I'm happy to say 3 years in, that's where we're at. We have the Rebel Song Academy. We have an Americana project. And we are building a recording studio, a lab for these young people to learn engineering skills. And I guess that's what I'm talking about today, is that we're doing a GoFundMe to finish our studio build. And that's kind of the evolution of this decade-long story.
Wow, I love that. How do people get involved? How can the community help support that?
Well, we have a GoFundMe where we're accepting donations, and it can be any amount. But if you are able to donate over $100, then you can be on we're putting up like a gold record, a platinum record on the wall, and your name would be on there as one of these folks who helped us build this studio for these young people to get professional work experience. All of this information you can find at artasmentorship.org. You can also follow Art as Mentorship on socials, on Instagram and Facebook. And we'll be talking about it a lot. It'll be a campaign. It's going to take us a while to get to the finish line to have the resources we need to build this space. But the goal is, Maria, to make it so world-class that a teenage young person who maybe wouldn't have had access to these things, if they're not in the right school district, if their parents don't come from the right affluence, how on earth are you going to get an experience to be in a professional recording studio at those ages? And so we're trying to meet that gap, because there's kids with so much talent that if they just knew there are viable careers in production, audio engineering, or were honing in their own recording chops, they could get to a place where they could build their own life in the arts. And that's really what we're trying to cultivate and nourish.
You know, and I have to thank you for that, because, you know, there's so many youth that are so talented and so, you know, really need this mentor, need this, you know, sort of guidance in their lives. And, you know, I really have to say thank you, you know, because it means so very much to so many people in the community and the lives of others, right?
Yeah, that's what we literally, before starting out as mentorship, we had a few families who would open up to us and say, this has changed our family's life or changed our young person's life. We're like, what? A one-week music camp? And then inviting them to other little music things. Like, you know, we would do all this ad hoc at the beginning. Like, we knew our one-week music camp, and then if we had an idea, then we would do it. Like, I remember Plaza Art Fair asked us, hey, I know you guys do a camp. Would you guys want to have people perform? Like, oh, cool. Let's have some of these youth perform. And then we'd do that. And it was just a blast. And so we're just kind of improvising, but we were transforming some of these young kids' lives. We didn't know that till we had gone through it for a few years. And then once we were kind of reverse engineering, like, wait, this really had this big impact. Well, why did it happen? So we've had art therapists and educators help us with the curriculum built out of this years of experience, so that the 12-week Rebel Song Academy, these 12 modules of how to use songwriting to enhance your own narrative, they're built with a foundation of art therapy as the crux of it. Because instead, you're not just learning something that's going to help you in your songwriting, you're learning something that's going to help you as a person. And so for us, if the only things that we wanted to teach with our programming are things that could hit knock three birds out in one stone, it'd be, if it's a musical skill that also has a mental health benefit and also has a real world parallel for entrepreneurial skills or just development at all. So for example, like setting the intention of your song is really a practice of, or setting the intention of an album you're trying to create is really a practice that is really beneficial from a journaling introspective standpoint as a mental health thing, but also from what a business person would call it, design thinking, where you dream up your vision, then you reverse engineer to the first step towards executing that vision. Well, that's true if you're trying to start a coffee shop or a song or an album or a, you know, a consulting firm. That's, you're still going to have to do that process. So that's what we focused in on, because that's what we realized was working.
Beautiful. If you could, again, tell us the information, contact information, website, and all that, so people can get involved and really, you know, begin to take a look at that. Share with us, if you could, please.
Of course. It's artasmentorship.org. You can follow Art as Mentorship. It's, you know, spelled exactly how it sounds, on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter. Instagram is where we're probably the most interactive. The website has places where you can donate. It also will take you to our impact report. You can see all the work we did last year and links out to the GoFundMe page. So if you want to be involved, if you want to participate, let us know. And of course, you know, we're in a fundraising mode, so donations and those kind of things are greatly appreciated.
Beautiful. We love you, Enrique Chi, and I invite you to come back when we can spend a little bit more time longer and listen to some of your music and everything else. Will you promise to come back soon?
I promise to come back, and you know, I think we should not only listen to my music, but let's listen to some of the music these kids have been making, because
absolutely,
it's really incredible.
Let's do it. Well, thank you so much, my friend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Maria. Talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. And I also want to say thank you to Jose Faust, Waco Porter, and next week, April 14th, and of course, Enrique Chi. Next week, April 14th, we're going to talk with Aaron Adair Hodges and Octavio Quintanilla, who is the Poet Laureate of San Antonio. I want to invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshberger. And I want to say thank you so much for listening. We love having you being in your ears. So, honey, I'm coming home.